speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
Again today, our friends, we thank you for joining us for the Way of Truth broadcast. We're happy and thankful that you've allowed us the privilege of coming into your home, into your place of business, or to ride along with you in the car, and that you're listening to our broadcast this afternoon. By a little review, we introduced the subject yesterday of the scarlet sin. Remember how one of the American novelists, Nathaniel Hawthorne, wrote a book about the sin of adultery and how a person was branded, and it was known as the scarlet sin. The seventh of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not commit adultery. And we mentioned yesterday what Arnold Toynbee said about our current state of affairs, although it was written in the 20th century. Of the 22 civilizations that appeared in history, 19 of them collapsed when they reached the moral state the United States is in now. And then another statement by Elton Trueblood, sexual corruption is one of the chief symptoms of a sick and a decaying society. And friends, if there isn't sexual corruption all around us today, I don't know what is. And immorality and sexual perversion is tearing our nation and tearing the church apart. And I pointed out yesterday that it's not a very pleasant subject because so many people are involved in this sin. And yet, it's something that God speaks against. With his very pure, perfect finger, he wrote upon his tables of stone that thou shalt not commit adultery. Our Lord spoke about it and called it to the attention in Luke 18 to the rich young ruler who wanted to know what he should do to have everlasting life. The Lord said, keep the commandments. And when the man asked which one, he said, thou shalt not commit adultery. And then there were other thou shalt nots that are given. And we pointed out yesterday that there are four kinds of adultery that are spoken of in the Bible. Very briefly, there is physical adultery, the actual physical joining of a man and a woman who are not entitled to that sexual relationship. That's what David was guilty of when he committed adultery with Bathsheba, Uriah's wife. And there's the warning in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 2. Very plain, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, let every woman have her own husband. And second, there's mental adultery. Christ said that it begins in the heart by one lusting after another. Matthew 5:27, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. Verse 28. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And then third, there is what is known as legal adultery. And that is people who are living together as husband and wife who are not entitled to be in that relationship. In Matthew 19, verse 6, wherefore there are no more twain. As Christ was answering the question, can a man put away his wife for every cause? There are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And he said the only exception to the rule of being married for life, being married until death of one of the parties, as presented in Romans 7, verse 2, for the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. And the exception to that is found in Matthew 19:9. I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery. What the Lord is saying there is divorce for any reason other than fornication, other than sexual violation of the marriage relationship, is unacceptable to God. Well, what about a couple who finds themselves living in an adulterous relationship? Like any sin, it must be repented of and they must come out from it. And then the fourth kind of adultery we mentioned yesterday is that there is spiritual adultery. Jeremiah spoke of that in Jeremiah 3, verse 9. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with rocks. And then we closed yesterday by noticing that James says that if we get involved with the things of the world, we're guilty. James 4, verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Well, there's a curse that goes with this sin. The curse connected with violating this commandment of God. And in Old Testament days, it was a capital offense. Leviticus 20, verse 10. The man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. And we notice the statement of Solomon in Proverbs 6, verse 27. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Verse 28, can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? Verse 29, so he that goeth in to his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. And then in verse 32 of that same chapter, Proverbs 6, whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. Well, we ask another question. Why is adultery wrong? Since it seems to be so prevalent in our society, some would think surely it's all right. As long as two consenting adults agree to this and no one gets hurt, that's the reasoning of many today that's prompted by Satan. Why is adultery wrong? Number one, adultery is wrong because it's a sin against society. For you see, it destroys the home. Proverbs 14, verse 34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And in Malachi 2, verse 16, the Bible very plainly says that God hates divorce and God hates putting away. Hear the verse. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away. For one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit that you deal not treacherously. And especially he points out about one dealing treacherously with the wife of his youth. The implication there, one perhaps tires of his present mate. Here the man tires of the wife of his youth, and he decides maybe he wants another one. Yet in verse 14, he says that is a covenant relationship. Malachi 2, verse 14. Yet you say, wherefore, because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. And did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord God of Israel saith that he hateth putting away. And then he closes chapter 2 by saying, ye have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or where's the God of judgment? God speaks very plainly that he hates divorce. So why is adultery wrong? It's a sin against society. Number two, it's a sin against one's own body. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18, this admonition is very plain. Flee fornication. Run from it. Do not put yourself in a position where you're going to be tempted. Okay, going back to the verse. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sin against his own body. For you see, Sexually transmitted diseases in many areas are running rampant. And when one does not flee from fornication and commits fornication, commits adultery, even with prevention, the steps that are taken, he's still sinning against his own body. He's running the risk of being contaminated by disease that may remain with him the remainder of his life. And just the fact that his body was not made for fornication, it was made to serve God. So it's a sin against society, it's a sin against the body, and it's a sin against one's personality. The guilt and the shame that goes with adultery and fornication stays with people for life. David struggled with this. He was guilt-ridden. And so in his petition to God in Psalms 51, verse 3, he said, I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. He realized that he had sinned against God in committing adultery. But it's not only a sin against society and a sin against the body and a sin against the personality, but my friend, adultery is a sin against one's soul. Remember what Solomon said? Whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. Proverbs 6, verse 32. And then lastly, adultery is a sin against God. In Genesis 39, verse 9, after day of luring him and trying to get Joseph to commit adultery with her, that was Potiphar's wife, Joseph knew this was a sin. And while he was away from home, while he had been mistreated, while his master was gone, and he could have reasoned, well, we are consenting adults, no one will know about it. He knew that God would know. And Genesis 39, verse 9 reads, there is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he, Potiphar, kept back anything from me but thee, Potiphar's wife, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And we know the result. Joseph decided to flee from fornication. He knew it was a sin, and he got out of that situation. 2 Samuel 12, verse 13. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Well, our last question today is, what can people do if they find out that they're living in adulterous relationship or if they have committed adultery? And what can people do to keep from committing adultery? Well, number one, begin by knowing that adultery is a sin. Remember that it can be forgiven as any sin. The woman at the well who had had five husbands and was living with a man who was not her husband, Jesus offered her in John 4 the water of life. The woman who was taken in the very act of adultery and brought to Christ in John 8. Woman, Jesus said, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? Verse 11 of John 8, she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now, Jesus did not condone what she had done. It was a sin. But he offered her hope in a hopeless situation, a chance to start all over, and said, go and sin no more. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, there were those who had been adulterers, but he said, such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. He said they had been washed pure by obedience to the gospel, and they had been forgiven. And for one who is overtaken in this sin, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And so to prevent adultery, we can avoid engaging by staying away from dancing and drinking and drugs and pornography and petting and physical contact with the opposite sex, by not putting ourselves in a situation where we might be tempted to give in. For you see, God forbids the act of adultery. He forbids the attitude that precedes it, and there's a curse upon those who thus engage in it. Adultery is forgivable, but scars will remain. My time is gone. Until tomorrow, I wish you a very pleasant good afternoon.